and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 357. How are we all doing? Second show of the day. Yes, Two Show Sunday. It's arrived, Two Show Sunday. Who'd have thought it? Anyway, let me see who's in the chat. And more importantly, who is in the chat first? Oh, it's Kim. Hello. How are you doing? Long time no see. It's now a sensible time of the morning, isn't it? 11 o'clock. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Renee. Oh, what's Jonathan got for dinner on a Sunday? I'm not saying, thinking there's a gherkin involved. Jonathan does like his gherkins. Let me have a look. Is there a gherkin involved? There is a gherkin. That's not dissimilar to what we had, Jonathan. We had a steak and we had it with broccoli. That was it, just broccoli. It was nice. Mike surpassed himself. It was very, very nice. That looks lovely. Lusting after chips now and coleslaw. Thing is, I don't eat potatoes. I used to eat potatoes. In fact, I adore potatoes. Sadly, they don't feel the same way about me. So I decided I was going to cut out potatoes, all kinds of starch, sugar, gluten. Have to keep that out. Dairy. Yeah, so basically I eat cardboard. I do have a treat every now and then. Don't panic. I do. Hello, Tony. Hello, Tracy. Kim cheated Johnny. Oh, dear. Oh, what's Tracy got there? We have a Tracy link. Let me have a look what we've got. Oh, so exciting. I have no idea what it is. It won't involve gherkins. Well, it might. No, it doesn't. Two MacBytes playlist. Oh. In other words, Tracy would like some more shows. Oh, I put one up last night. Have you consumed that? Have you consumed 321? I will get around. I will put the rest up. There you go. But first, after the show this afternoon, I had to do the timings because people get very uppity if there's no timings in it. So I have to put timings that say start of broadcast, start of content, and then all the way through to the questions, which I've done. Now, Mike usually does that, but there was a bit of an issue this week with that. Mike, because it kind of flowed and I didn't want to stop and keep putting up things on the screen to say, now we're going to look at this bit, now we're going to look at that bit. So Mike hadn't got a clue what was going on. So I had to do it. Anyway, it's done and it's up there. So that's fine. So my next job is clearly maroons.
Do you want to go for a walk?
You missed me and Mike. Oh, walkies.
Walkies, come on.
Yep, she is. She's decided she'll go. Where's Jerry?
Jerry's down here.
Jerry's her new toy. Jerry, is Jerry going for a walk or staying with Mummy? Leave Jerry with me. I'll look after Jerry and you go for your walk. And then Jerry will be here when you come back. Look at the face on Jerry. So cute. I'll put a picture of that in Friday's show. She cheated to be in first. Yes, that's not on, is it really, Jonathan? Stew and dumplings. Oh, my mum used to make the most amazing stews. Yeah, me, not so much so. No, and they wouldn't taste the same anyway. She had a pastry top on them. Didn't cover the whole thing, so it wasn't a pie. It was like a dumpling, but instead of being soft like a dumpling, this was definitely a pie crust. But then we went gluten-free. Enforced gluten-free, and it took her ages to get it right, but when she got it right, oh my, she left me the recipe somewhere in her will. I've just got to find it. When I find it, I could endeavour to try and make it. So stew's never the same without the little topping on it from my mum. But yes, I used to love stew and dumplings. Oh, and Renee had spaghetti. Oh, I like spaghetti as well. Obviously, I have to have gluten-free. But the gluten-free stuff these days, not bad. You know, any kind of pasta. What's that one called that's in layers? You kind of have it with, like, cheese. I'm not good with Italian stuff because I could never eat it to start with. So now it's like, oh, you can get that. And I'm like, but I didn't eat it before. It's the one with layers. Layers of squares of pasta, and you stack it with cheese and all kinds of stuff. I think we've got some, but we've never actually done it. So there's something to try before Christmas. Oh, 3, 2, 1 is gone and done. Right, Tracy, the challenge. I'll put like 20 up and see how we go. Oh, Renee just didn't take a picture of it. Ah, and I see, I did last night because we tried the pizzas. We tried mushroom pizza last night. Now, that's not as you would think. Oh, no. If you were with us, you'll have seen the picture. It's not pizza with mushrooms. No, it's a mushroom with pizza on the top. So it's a portobello mushroom and it had tomato paste on it. It had some kind of cheese, the right cheese. I can't remember which one it is. I don't do the cooking. Mike does. The cheesy thing. I'm about as good recognising cheeses as he is and recognising network cables. Like, what's that one? Don't touch it. That's the backbone. But whatever cheese should have been on, it was on it. And then we had pepper and little tiny tomatoes. And it really did taste like pizza. What is it with portobello mushrooms? They're like magic. You put something else with them and they morph into that food. It was a pizza. It was lovely. So they're definitely on the let's repeat everything list. Right. Tracy's aim is to sort of to complete the marathon before the year anniversary, which is coming up in 9 days. Right. OK. In that case, I will have to take this as a challenge of getting the shows up for you to listen to, won't I? Right. We'll do that. Definitely. Oh, Kim says first show today was super duper. Excellent. Glad you enjoyed it. And Tracy loved the bit she was able to see. Family film afternoon. Oh, and bread making. Oh, Mum used to make bread as well. Many, many years ago. Not in her later years. When she got a freezer. And she got a freezer, I think it was 1970. She was ahead of her time. So ahead of her time, the only style of freezer that you could get was like a chest freezer, like an industrial chest freezer, because that was the only type that were about. And that was what she got. And she filled it with bread. Dad loved bread. So she filled it with bread. So every time you would walk in, there would be bread rising or whatever it does under the cloth, that kind of thing. Hello, Paul. Is Mike gluten-free as well? He is. He could probably tolerate more of it than I do. I don't tolerate any of it well at all. If I even touch a piece of bread, passing somebody a sandwich, no, break out in hives. It's not pretty and it itches. So I don't touch it. But Mike probably could eat like a couple of rounds of bread. But the trouble is he'd get this cough that wouldn't stop. His dad, before he was an actor, was a pharmacist, had a chemist shop. And Mike, as a child, had a cough and it would never go away. No matter what his dad gave him, and, being a pharmacist, he had the whole range at his fingertips, could not get rid of this cough. So we met and he was eating gluten of lots of descriptions, pizzas, you name it. So I obviously said, I'm gluten free. And he kind of inadvertently stopped eating as much bread because he wouldn't put it on the table, because if it was near me, I'd probably have an incident. And his cough went away. For the first time in his entire life, his cough went away. So he decided he'd stay off it. So if he does eat something and it's got some kind of gluten in it, then the cough comes back. So I always know when he's been up to mischief. His cough gives him away. So yes, the pair of us are gluten-free. It's easier. Lasagna, that's the one. Yes, he said, I don't eat Italian, that's it. But yes, that. We do have some slices of that. So if Mike wants to interest himself in dealing with it, then we could try that, then share that with you. So we'd need the stuff in the middle, wouldn't we? Which, is it cheese and meat? Not sure. We'll get some kind of recipe off the net and try it, because that's where we got the mushroom one. You may remember I said just before Christmas, this would be fantastic if you're on some kind of diet, wouldn't it? I'm sat here next to my A-lady, which is actually showing me, you wouldn't believe this, classic Italian lasagna right now. All of a sudden, I didn't do a thing. It started showing me recipes and I'm thinking, what's going on? Recipes just keep flashing up on it. And they're from BBC Good Food. And I thought, I didn't ask for this. How do you turn it off? Anyway, I got sidetracked trying to turn it off, so I didn't bother turning it off. And it's been there ever since. So some things come up and you think, oh my, that looks nice. And you could eat it. Other things come up, like a couple of weeks ago, it was beer battered cod and chips. started craving fish and chips, didn't I? So what I'm saying, it'd be fantastic if you're on a diet, wouldn't it? I think you'd find the A-Lady device would be out of the window. There's desserts on it. There was mince pies at Christmas. You name it. But there's some other stuff that's like, what is that? I mean, it will say on it what it is, but it might use some kind of, like lasagna, it doesn't describe what it is. There's a picture and you say, oh yes, that's lasagna. So some of these things come up and I look, and honestly, I mean, I hope no one's eating, but I look at it and I think, really? That looks like somebody's already re-eaten it once and returned it to the plate, as it were. They look vile. I've no idea what some of them are. The one that's just flashed up now is School Days Treacle Pudding. See what I mean? Could quite fancy that now. I don't know why it started doing it, and I've no idea how to stop it doing it, but it did flash up this mushroom. And I thought, that's a portobello mushroom. I happen to know that. Yes, it surprised me as well. And I thought, but it looks like a pizza. So I tapped on that and got some information about it. It's the only one I've ever done that with. I thought, that looks really nice, and I could just eat a portobello mushroom. So we ordered what we needed for it. We've done the shop differently this week because Mike was getting fraught. So I stepped in with my organisation hat on and said, leave it to me. What was happening was we plan what meals we want and then we order the food. But they're sending other things. So, you know, you order like oranges and they send you apples, that kind of stuff. Well, and Tesco say, well, yeah, it's near enough. Yeah, near enough isn't exactly what I want to eat. So 2 weeks running, they substituted something or something didn't come. And it made a huge difference. It was like, well, we can't have that meal then. And that meant redoing it. So I said, right, Mike, we'll do this a totally different way. I said, let's look up some recipes that we would be thinking like, yeah, I could eat that. I could quite eat that. I said, and then we'll make a list of the ingredients and we'll order them. I said, but the difference is we won't get married to the food until the order's arrived. And then working out what we've got, we'll work out what we can have for the week. So that's the plan this week. Needless to say, this week, having decided on a plan, Tesco managed to get everything here. Well done, Tesco. But that's the new plan. So that was how come we were trying different recipes. Just in case. Just in case something didn't turn up, but it did. Did Pete figure out his mysterious cable? No, that's the story that keeps giving and giving, Paul. But he does have an electrician coming in around the 22nd of the month. So we're hopeful of an update at some point. Portobellos are the Rolls Royce of mushrooms. You are quite right. You are quite right. There was a recipe I had about 3-4 years ago. And I think it was for vegans. And there was a way to cook the mushroom and call it a steak. And I thought, but it's a mushroom. Anyway, I tried it. And they weren't wrong. That's what I say. They're amazing. I would say the ones we got from Tesco's this time, because normally we would probably buy those from Aldi. They're a lot cheaper in Aldi. And they're the same mushrooms. But I would say these were a little bit bigger than the ones that we would normally get from there. And the price wasn't that much different. So, yes, I foresee more portobello mushrooms. How do we have them before? I think we put goat's cheese and nuts on before. And again, they were lovely. Really nice. I will get round to that for you, Tracy, I promise. No, I'm not sure I've tried any other mushrooms. I've tried smaller mushrooms. And I don't dislike smaller mushrooms. And even baby mushrooms. Now here, they tend to put those in a tin. But once you get them out, they go well in soup because they're so tiny. So I like those as well. Oh, wow. My 88-year-old dad just called and told me he had his first Zoom meeting. He's such a cool old gramp. That's amazing, Renee. Zoom has just become like the verb, isn't it, for teleconferencing. I mean, the Catanians use Zoom, and the age of some of them. Oh, dear. And like Peter, when Peter was doing it, Peter was clueless with technology. But his wife, Andrea, and she's the same age he was, so she's touching 90, red hot. She's on WhatsApp, she's on all kinds of things, and she would be in the meetings and pressing the buttons for him so he could do it. And it was like, he was like, I want my meetings. And you know, he's always going to meetings, Peter. He knew everybody. But once it got online, as well as doing the Brooklands meetings, He was loving it. He was going to at least one meeting a day and sometimes up to four in different time zones the world over. And the thing in the Catinians is they really encourage visiting. And visiting is where, like, one gentleman would go to another circle. But obviously, locally, it's doable. And nobody has meetings exactly the same time. So they might be the same day, but it'll be in a different week. So Brooklyn's meetings are, I think, the third Thursday. And, like, Wilmslow would be the first Thursday. So Mike's done the meeting thing, and Peter used to do the meeting thing. But it still counts if it's virtual. And the thing is, you win trophies depending on how many meetings you go to. So Peter was forever winning stuff because he went to so many meetings. And now he was doing it virtually. 6 months he did it virtually. And there was him and a friend that he'd made in these virtual meetings. And those two had been to the most meetings. So they were having an absolute ball. I think it's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. You don't have meat in lasagna. I did not know this, you see. This is what I'm saying. This is why I need guiding with that. Ah, pity Tesco can't spell. You know Tesco. Mind you, you should see what I've just put in the video thing with the links, which I quickly corrected as it lit up red. Ooh. Right. Okay. Well, that says minced beef. That's what I thought was in it. That picture's not great, is it? Is it me or is that a bit flat? Should it not be a smidgen taller than that? But thank you, Tracy, because I know we've got the actual... we've got tomato puree. We've got rosemary. There's a funny story with that. I think we've pretty much got that. Although, what's the red wine for? I'm not putting alcohol in it. Does it need alcohol? That's probably what we bought. Tesco free from lasagna sheets, 12 in a pack. Probably. Oh, and then the sauce and everything as well. Oh, that's got flour in it. Oh, no, gluten-free plain flour. I just don't eat flour of any description, gluten-free or otherwise. I think the powdery thing is what sets me off. So I don't eat that. But yeah, we will try that. It'll be on our list because we know we've got that in. So we're not having the tail wag the dog at the moment, which is we want to wag our own tail. So if Tesco don't send us things, then that's the tail wagging the dog. So what we'll do is we'll leave it until Sunday, and then on a Sunday we will divvy up what food we have, and then we'll decide what we're eating, which I think is a far better way to do it, and it calms Mike down considerably, because then he won't need to get into a strop that Tesco's have missed something, and it'll be something innocuous, like, you know, a packet of sage or something, but it'll totally ruin the flavour. No, they told us that rosemary was good for cleaning, I think it was. So I bought some rosemary. Now, that says 1 teaspoon of rosemary. Yeah. I bought a 5 kilo bag. Needless to say, rosemary we're not short of. And it does smell beautiful. So I've just left some in a pot, smelling beautiful. What have we got there? There's another link there. Got the link from... Oh, hang on, stop moving. Freeze. Got the link from Kim. Let me see what that one is. Do you know what's nice at the moment? All my browsers have got no tabs open because I always close them all before a session. Oh, I've never seen anything that looks like that. Wow. They look inside out, don't they? Never seen anything that looks like that for sale or for the picking of. There were some amazing... I don't think they were mushrooms, not by the look of them. In the graveyard where my mum is, on the way out, there's this, like, grass area. And the path through the cemetery cut round it. So it's like an island, a grass island. And I said to Mike, what's that? And there was this huge red lump. So I said, I'm going to have a look. And I went over, and it was either a mushroom or a toadstool that must have been about 8 inches across. It was huge. So I remember taking a couple of pictures, but no idea if it was edible or not, and wouldn't risk it. But no, never seen anything like that. I will take your word for the fact they taste amazing, but I wouldn't trust myself going to find any. I'd probably find a toadstool. So I'm going to leave it alone, but it looks amazing. Oh, Renee imagines a Vicar of Dibley meeting all the old peeps. Well, it's funny when they do start, the Catinians, because I'm in another room. And Mike's obviously Zoom master. And it's No, no, no. Press the button. Yep. The talk button. Yep. On the right. Yep. Just push that. Yep. Yep. That's it. And then speak. No, no, no. We still can't hear you. Have you turned your microphone on? And it goes on like that for about 40 minutes. But, you know, they get there in the end and they do actually have a meeting. So they've been doing that now. The first meeting they did that with was April last year. So this month's meeting will mark a year of online meetings. I think they should give out badges or something. You never know. They might. Oh, Vicar of Dibley, absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. Fabulous. The old ones were the best. There's not much now, comedy-wise, that I'm like, oh, that's amazing. But the old ones. Yeah, I do love the old ones. Lasagna is plural and is not correct usage to describe the dish. Oh, right. I'm going to leave that alone then. Rosemary's yuck. Well, it smells nice. I wouldn't exactly say I put it in everything that I eat, but it's nice. They look far too much like something deadly. That would be my concern, that I'd picked up something deadly rather than the right thing. It looks like somebody's nicked the top off it. I'd be scared. I'd trust Kim with it, but I'd be scared. $300 a pound if you bought them. Wow. What's that other thing like that? Is it truffles? I've never eaten that either. Or frog's legs. And rabbit. I won't let the dog have rabbit in tins. Because I said to Mike, you know, rabbit, if rabbit smells as different to beef and pork as lamb does, I said, how can you stop her chasing rabbits in the garden if she's had them in a tin? So I started that with Maya. It was like, here's six tins of dog food, and two of them were beef, two of them were something else, and two were rabbit. And I said, no, doesn't eat rabbit. And it was funny because not long after we got Maya, there was the foot and mouth outbreak in 2001. And we started that for some reason caused shortages because, you know, this is the UK. If somebody sneezes in Outer Mongolia, we're suddenly short of something. So we went into Morrison's and we were looking for dog food that wasn't rabbit. And honestly, this guy that was there, so he wasn't serving, he was one of the like shelf stackers, said, have you got any dog food? Because the dog food was like half empty. And he said, no, but we can substitute it with cat food if you like. I thought, we haven't got a cat. They're not interchangeable. Oh, this is the calibre of staff we have here. So I said, no, it's all right, thank you. Oh, good night, Jonathan. And enjoy the bin trip. Our bin trip is tomorrow. Oh, there's another link for some mushrooms. I'm not going to know what the English is for this. Not a clue. But let's look at the mushrooms. I'm learning a lot about mushrooms. Let's have a look. Oh, now they look nice. I have no idea what that would be in English, but they look nice. I still wouldn't trust myself picking any, though. Far too deadly to trust myself. Absolutely. But they do look rather nice. Frog's legs are wonderful. Oh, Kim, my dad used to hunt them and I grew up on them. No, I haven't had frog's legs. No, not at all. Or any other kind of a bit of a frog. No. So I can't say if they're nice because just the thought of them puts me off. It's the thought of it. As is crocodile. No, I never tasted crocodile either. Clearly, I am limited. Clearly restricted. Look up those mushrooms on Wikipedia in Dutch and give the Latin name, and then we can know the usual English name. Wow, that's complicated. Right, let's have a look at them then. Oh, Anthony's Westie Charlie was on special food from the vet. You ordered some, and we thought, this looks different. It was when I was looking at the packet, I realised it was a picture of a cat. The thing is, I mean, you do wonder, don't you? Our vets has made that many mistakes. We didn't get the food from the vet. But, you know, they think that that's normal, that it's interchangeable. Now, some things are. Flea treatments are the same. So, but usually when they can be used either way, like medicated powder, flu treatments, anything else basically that's like that, if it's got a cat and a dog on it, then you instantly know, don't you? Some things, though, like food, no. And it does say on the box or the tin that it's got nutrients in it for a dog and nutrients for a cat. And you just don't know what they're putting in it that may adversely impact the wrong kind of animal. I mean, probably not, but you wouldn't risk it because you don't really know what's in there. Maya, of course, had handmade food from my mother. She took one look at the dog food and said, yeah, that's not happening. He likes liver. So we used to buy raw liver and she would cook it for him and put all different flavours with it. He was a spoiled dog. Now, you see, Lola, because she wasn't with us for the first 3.5 years of her life, she's into the dog food. And I don't know. She probably would know what to do if I put a plate of liver in front of her. But yeah, we don't want to go there, do we? So she's quite happy with the dog food. She likes dog food and she likes cheese. And today she had some cheese because Jerry had cheese. This was to introduce her to her new toy. So new toys get cheese put on them. She's very taken with Jerry. She's had that much cheese on it. Oh, dear, dear me. You were worrying the vets don't know the difference. Well, that was my experience with our first vet. I had had pets before, but none had ever visited a vet. So Maya was the first one that was like, we need to get him with his puppy check. Then we need to get him insured. And then we need to go back and he needed his boosters for his vaccines. And he also needed chipping, which while it wasn't a legal requirement at the time, it was within a couple of years. So took the dog in and the vet that I saw said, well, you know, yes, everything he's OK. He's got a head and a tail and four legs, but I'm not going to go any deeper than that until you've sorted the insurance out, because if he had and he'd have found a problem, you would have been legally obliged to tell the insurance. So I said, that's fine. So he had his basic puppy check and he was fine. So then we went home, we sorted the insurance out and we went back and he got his boosters and stuff. So we wandered in, I think the boosters he was okay with and the chipping went okay, but when we went back we puts him on the table, you know, and he's that small at this stage. You could pick him up and put him on the table. And they used to have coloured folders. And obviously he was a boy, so his was blue. And the vet stood there holding this blue folder that clearly said on the front, you know, male Samoyed, with his date of birth on it. And he said, how's she doing? And I thought, yeah, we're going to need a new vet. Because if you can't tell the difference with the coloured folder in front of you, I didn't rate your chances in an emergency. We did have an emergency with him. He managed to cut his foot when he was out. And there was another vet on. So I said to Mike, that's good news, because the last one couldn't tell a boy from a girl. So this locum vet was there. And we rang them and I said, it's a cut on his pad. I said, and it won't stop bleeding. Now, that's the thing with a dog. It doesn't stop bleeding. Afterwards, I found out how you could make it stop bleeding without needing the vet. Which, given what happened, would have been a darn good idea. If you want to know what that is, if you've got no medicated powder, keep flour in the house. You put the flour in a bag and then you put the dog's paw in the bag and seal it. And it will stop it bleeding. But obviously, I did not know that at the time. So off to the vets we went. Lady vet this time. So I thought, here's hoping she knows the difference between a boy and a girl. But seeing as though it was just his foot, it didn't matter either way, which was fine. So she picks him up. He's bleeding all over the bench. He's bleeding all over the floor. He's cut his paw on glass. And she says, it's psychosomatic. You're being an overprotective mother. I just looked at her like, we've got another barking one, Mike. And Mike's looking at me like, oh, dear. This won't end well. You know, Elaine will tear the woman a new one. I said, pardon. She said, it's psychosomatic. I thought, no, he's bleeding. So I persuaded her to actually have a look at the foot. It didn't need a stitch, but she said, you know, it might do tomorrow. It depends. I thought, this is brilliant. Why have I bothered coming? It might not. It depends. I don't know what to put on it. No, I'm not going to put a plaster on it, but you do need to keep it clean. And I'm thinking, this is just insanity. By the way, here's my card. So when you've realised what an overprotective mother you are, then come and see me with the dog. And I looked at this card and it said underneath, you know, stupid vet's name. And then underneath it said dog psychologist. I thought, to a man with a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So everything's psychosomatic, even if he's stood there bleeding. Needless to say, that was the second vet we never went back to. They are barking mad, aren't they? Barking mad. Good night, Kim. Oh, oyster mushrooms. Now, I've heard of oyster mushrooms. Worrying the vets don't know the difference. Tell me about it. Because, you know, I always think it's not what I need the vet for today. It's what I might need the vet for tomorrow. And they can't tell a snake from a goldfish. And that's what worries me. We did luckily find the most amazing vet, but he was number 13. 13 or 11. I had quite a few vets, put it like that. And this particular one, by this stage, we'd had all the idiots, but I went in with this one and I didn't never take the dog because Maya would bark constantly. If he was somewhere he didn't want to be, oh, you heard about it. So I always left him outside. And it was actually a good way to judge the vet because if you pitched up, a bad vet was like, where's the dog? Where's the dog? Where's the dog? Well, the dog can't talk, so why don't you listen to me? But I had this line and I used it to test them. With the greatest of respect, I'm paying the bill. The dog's not, so listen to me. And some vets did not like that. No, I want to see the dog. I thought, well, I'm going to give you a clue as to what's wrong with him, so why wouldn't you listen to me first? But this last guy was like, that's a good idea. Carry on. Tell me what the problem is. And then he said, right, OK, that sounds like X or it sounds like Y. I could do with seeing him walking. So I said, well, that's fine. I've got some video footage from last night. So I get the video out. He said, this is genius. You know, I can see it now on here. And I thought, what a vet. And then he said, is the dog here? I said, oh, yeah, he's outside. I said, but he'll bark. I said, so, you know, when we're ready to have a look at him, fine. I said, but don't expect to be able to hear yourself think when he gets in. And he was fine with him. So he came in and he had a look at the dog. And then I said to him, I said, you know, do you need anything more with the dog? No. I said, you take the dog outside and we'll carry on talking. That's the kind of vet you need. So very luckily we found that. But that was, Maya would have been about 10 at the time. So it took us 10 years to find a decent vet. You'd think that it wouldn't be that difficult, but trust me, it was. It was. And the thing was, I wanted a vet that was like a one-man band, so you always saw the same vet in a little office, so you got to know everybody in the office. Yeah, that was what I wanted. What did I end up with? It was like a vet factory. It was huge. We ended up at it's called Pet Medics, and they are a 24-hour veterinary surgery. Well, it's not even, well, it is a surgery. They do surgeons. A veterinary centre. They take any animal and they are on call 24/7. So if your vet's closed, that's where they'd send you anyway. You'd ring up your vet and it would say, ring this number for out of hours help. And you would be ringing Pet Medics because that's them. So when we got there and I dashed out to get the dog, Mike said, shall I start the car? I said, no, this one's a keeper. Get in quick. When we'd finished that first appointment, yeah, they saw him overnight and then we went back in the next day. And I said to the lady on reception, can we move here and you know, you be our vet? So she said, yes, of course you can. So I said, well, you know, we're with a vet. I said, and that vet uses you as out of office veterinary services. I said, and I didn't know whether you maybe shouldn't take a customer direct because they're going to lose one. And she went, oh, I'm with you. She said, but no, that would be fine if you were to come in. And she's like nodding as she's saying it. So I said, right, that's fine. Can I fill a form in then? And we moved straight away. They were amazing. But the thing was, there was like 30 vets there and 15 consulting rooms. And it was like, well, will I ever see the same person twice? And yet they were absolutely amazing. Right until the very end. In fact, after the very end, because once Mayer had died, we had him cremated and we got the ashes back. And I was on the phone like a woman possessed. Like, the ashes back, the ashes back. You know, I really was. Anyway, she said, I'll let you know as soon as the ashes are back. So about 20 minutes later, she rings and says, the ashes are back. So I said, right, we'll be down tonight. And when we went down, you know, I don't really expect any kind of special treatment at all. Like I've said, you're lucky if you've got a vet. But we got down there, and the way it was laid out, you walked in through this door, and as I've said, it's huge. It's like the Tesco. Instead of Arkwright's corner shop, it's like Tesco, a superstore. So you walk in, and on the right-hand side, there's like a countertop that's sort of just below shoulder height. So the kind of height you could write on, just above the waist. And the lady who'd been on the phone was there, and she said, ah, you're here for Mayor, aren't you? So I said, yeah. And I didn't expect anything at all, really. I just kind of thought, you know, if the ashes are here, that's fine. I'll even take them in a carrier bag. It doesn't matter, as long as I've got my boy bag. And she came out from the back room where she'd got them in her hands. And instead of handing them over the counter, she came all the way round and went through the side door so she didn't have to hand him over the counter. So it was like more of a personal thing. And I thought, that is it. And a vet either has that or they don't. That's either the ethos of the practice or it's not. And that was the only one that had that kind of thing. And it stuck with me because the rest was so absolutely abysmal. And it does matter. You have to have faith, you know, that they're going to do what's right for your pet. But they're still with us now. CQ, Deb, how are you doing? Tracy's going on a mushroom hunt. You can find them on a hunt. I did go picking strawberries and raspberries, where I trust myself. I can tell a strawberry and a raspberry. And a blackberry, probably. But no, I'm going to leave the mushrooms alone to somebody with far more experience than me. Doing the washing up. Oh, Pete. Does anybody know that show? Which show's this? Which ones we're talking about? Oh, and Anthony says, when Charlie was ill, we had to take him to an out-of-hour service 13 miles away, as opposed to our normal vet. Barney's vet does their own out-of-hour service, though you do have to go to their main branch, which isn't a problem. All the ones we had prior to the last one were all like independents. One of them had two branches. And I think the branch we didn't go to, see, we were logical all the way down the line and it still didn't work. When we left the idiot that couldn't tell a boy from a girl, I mean, honestly, he sat on the table in front of you with his bits and pieces there. If you can't tell the difference, we've got a problem. So this other vet we went to, a friend of my dad's had three Samoyeds and all three of her dogs were with this vet. And she said, oh, he's amazing. So I checked the website out and I thought, well, at least they'd know a Samoyed. And it looked great. It had this thing about how his faith was important to him. And they offered holistic veterinary care. And I thought, this is sounding great. And I know that, you know, he's okay with their Samoyeds. So down there we went. No. The first time was the time with the leg. And he said, it's not affecting his movement, is it? And you feel such an idiot. When you know your pet's got a problem and you get there and he's as fit as a fiddle. That. But Mayer decided he didn't like the guy's white coat, which was all buttoned up the front. It was a very, like dentists used to wear with poppers on. From the groin to the neck. And Mayer took one look and decided that was all a bit formal for his liking. So he did no more than jumped up, got a paw in the top popper and pulled all the way down. Thought the guy was going to have a heart attack. And Mayer then stood there proudly and looked at him like, yeah, that'll do. Now, can we talk? The answer to that was no. The second time we went back there, we got this vet and I'll admit, you couldn't really tell, but there again, I wouldn't tell unless they were actually giving birth. But she said, don't let him jump up, I'm pregnant. I thought, in that case, love, you can't do the job, bye. So we had to leave that one. She couldn't cope with him. She didn't want to get anywhere near him just in case he coughed at her or jumped up or scratched her arm or something. And I thought, then you can't do the job. Don't do the job. Or only take on pets or animals that, you know, don't frighten you to death. That was when we went to the other branch. So like Anthony says, if there's another branch. But when we did that with him, it was this Polish vet who could speak English. Well, every other word was English. I couldn't make out head nor tail. We took him in with his nose, an issue with his nose. And he started talking about he needed an operation on his eye. And I thought, I'm not sure who's got the wrong end of the stick here, but I'm pretty confident it's not me. Maya, meanwhile, wasn't barking, which was a relief because I was trying to work out what the Polish words meant. But I thought, he's too quiet. It's never good when he's quiet. No, because he was whittling up the filing cabinet, wasn't he? Yeah, that didn't end well either, so we had to leave there. Oh, luckily, we've not taken Lola to the vet yet, but I would take her to Pet Medics because they are fantastic. But isn't it amazing if they're doing their own out of hours? Because then you know you're going to see somebody that knows your dog instead of just turning up with a dog and no history or only the history that you can remember. The incredible Dr. Paul. I need to find this one then, don't I? Try going to the vets with a hen. They just look at you as if you're mad. Oh, Alex, that's a classic. Do you know, I always do wonder, do you remember a programme years and years ago? I'm sure it went global. What was it called? Vets in Vet School and then Vets in Practice. And it followed the same people. It followed them in like their last couple of years of vet school and then their first couple of years in practice. And I remember watching it thinking, how do they train these vets? I know there's small animal practice and large animal practice. So a high street vet doesn't really need to know the ins and outs of a cow because it's highly unlikely one's going to wander in. But obviously a farm vet would. And you're only at vet school 5 years. So, you know, what kind of exposure do you get to each kind of animal? All was revealed in this programme. Cats, dogs, they seem to be okay with. Horses was one. There was a large animal practice, so cows, etc. But this particular one was a small animal thing, so they were just on the high street. When in walked a woman, in fact, this particular one, there was two of them, and both of them would have had me out the back door. One took a tarantula in. I'm not quite sure how you are supposed to treat a tarantula. And the other one was a snake. And the vet, I think the receptionist knew it was a snake and then said to the vet, you know, well, the next one's a snake. And she nearly died on the spot because she'd never vetted a snake. And I thought, again, that must be pretty tricky. Because at least if it's a cat, a dog, you've probably got experience of it. But people have the most exotic pets now. I can imagine taking in like an iguana or something. And as a vet, how are you supposed to do that? And I reckon 90% of them probably just Google it. Seriously. Oh, I've got this snake. These are the symptoms. What should I do? Because you cannot keep up with it all, can you? And there wouldn't be much point in being like I'm a specialist in snakes unless you worked at a zoo. So I don't know what kind of help would be available from the vet, depending on the pet. So what happened with the chicken? Oh, I do think that hen, that's amazing. I love that. Oh, he works with cows, ferrets, birds, all sorts. I love it. Right, I'm going to find that. Oh, Deb's got a good vet. If you've got a good vet, keep hold of them. Absolutely keep hold of them. I mean, it could be a personality thing sometimes, but you know, not when it's like, oh, you'd have to cut the leg off and then the next one says it's fine. The variation between vets is quite shocking. You wouldn't think so. And I wouldn't mind. When we first started looking for a vet, I rang every vet within a 20-mile radius. I vetted them on the phone before we went any further. And what I'll say about the one we ended up at that was a complete idiot, couldn't tell a boy from a girl, his receptionist was amazing. She should move. She was great. Absolutely great. And I thought, this sounds like a practice I can work with. And then I met the vet. That was also the one who had the psychologist, the pet psychologist. Sometimes there are no words, not ones I should use anyway. In Barcelona, there's a specialist vet who deals only with exotic animals and reptiles. Now, you see, that's the kind of place that I would go if that was what I needed. Absolutely. But that must be quite difficult because you're cutting off other income sources, aren't you? Unless they take cats and dogs as well, just that they are a specialist in that. I mean, we have SuperVet. He's amazing. He basically fits bionic prosthetics to cats, dogs, you name it. And some of the ones he takes on are just amazing and that he fixes. There was one that had a congenital problem with its front paws. It was kind of walking on its knees and its legs were tucked in underneath. And he'd got all kinds of x-rays of the thing. It must have cost an absolute fortune. But he broke the bones and reset them and stretched the ligaments. You name it, he did it. And it took a while. You know, maybe like 6 months, but this dog was walking absolutely normal. It was amazing work. There was another one, and it was a referral from London because he's down south somewhere. I think he's south of London. And it was a dog that had had an accident. And he was expecting this dog to turn up and have problems with, I think it was a front paw. Could have been the back. I think it was the front. And when this dog turned up, in a little pet ambulance. It had a problem with its foot, all right. It was in a Tesco's bag. And he was like, I didn't realise it was totally severed. So he said, there's no way that's going back on. But he built a prosthetic for this dog. And they can run free. The prosthetics are totally amazing. I love that programme, except when they die. I don't like it if anything dies. So I might won't watch it if anything dies. So I have to vet the bits out where somebody dies. If the animal dies, Mike doesn't watch that bit. I am as bad. Oh, Alex, just gave an injection, then wouldn't return your calls. That's shocking. Found another vet who asked the hen to open wide, look in her throat. He was lovely and she recovered. That's why it's so important, isn't it? I made sure we had a vet with Maya from day one. So we went down to visit the pups. Because it needed to be a boy. This was my mum's choice, not mine. I didn't care one way or the other. But she had had a dog when she was pregnant with me. And this dog had psychological problems. It had been, I think it had had a couple of litters of puppies, but it had been spayed and it had gone mental. It had gone weird. It had been spayed incorrectly. And what happened with it was it knew she was pregnant. And it would corner her. It would get her. I mean, it was only a corgi, like the Queen has. But it was vicious. It was vicious. And it got her into a corner when she was about 3 or 4 months pregnant and wouldn't let her move. And she had to stay there all day till my dad came back. And at the time, he was a long-distance lorry driver. So by the time he turned up, she'd been there all day. So he said, I can't have this. And the thing was, it wasn't their dog. It was a dog that my granddad had saved from being put down. Obviously, the lady was taking it to be put down because of this mental problem. But my granddad said, you can't do that with a dog. I'll take it. But then he couldn't cope with it. So he gave it to mum and dad. Mum couldn't cope with it. So that left it with dad. So dad said, I'll take it with me when I go long distance lorry driving. So this dog became his companion in his lorry. And then all of a sudden one day he's on the motorway. This was like 3 weeks, 4 weeks later. Dog had been fine. Absolutely fine. But about 3-4 weeks later, he's on the motorway and the dog went mental and attacked him. No reason whatsoever. Just attacked him while he's driving on the motorway. So he had to scoot up and try and get onto the hard shoulder. And he was trying to fend this dog off with a crowbar. It was that vicious. So he came home with it and he said, you know, it's fine now, but it took a funny turn. And obviously the best thing to do, you couldn't do anything with this dog. But he had bites all over his arm where he'd had to fight it off. And my mum just looked at him and rolled her eyes. So because this spaying went wrong, she said she never wanted another girl dog. So it had to be a boy, which was fine. The only problem was, and isn't this just typical, every breeder that had dogs, bearing in mind 2001, foot and mouth, so you couldn't go anywhere to visit these dogs. Every one had just had litters of girls. There was not a boy dog to be had. So this breeder that I was talking to in Blackpool that we'd gone to visit, she said, hang on, I've got an idea. She says, there's one person and I know they've had a litter. I just don't know if it's boys or girls. So she rings this woman and she's chatting away on the phone and she comes back and she says she's got one boy left, but it will be the last one because all the others have gone. So basically everyone else would turn up and pick their pups and whatever was left, this boy, would be ours. So she said, but she said, go visit tomorrow. So it was bank holiday. So this was Sunday and we were in Blackpool. By Monday morning, we were on our way to Glasgow in Scotland, which was a heck of a trip. We got there. There were three boys and two girls. Two of the boys had been sold. I think all of the girls were accounted for as well. So there was just one left. And we walked in and there was one that was really sleepy. And, that, you know, I'd read all the books, don't take a sleepy one, there might be something wrong with them. And the other thing they told you to do was stand behind the dog and clap. And if they don't turn round, then they've got something wrong with their hearing. So I'm doing all of this as well. But this dog just sat there and looked at us. And then it wandered over and curled up by our feet. And it was like, this is the dog. But obviously all three boys were there. And if the other two people turned up and they wanted that one, you know, they were first in the queue. While we were sat there, one of the other people did turn up. They picked one of the others. So I thought, thank God for that. Then it was 50-50. And she got this. She said, he's not coming till in the middle of the week. But because it was bank holiday, he'd rung her and said, can I come up and see the pups? And she said, yeah, sure. So he came up and he wanted to show the dog. So obviously they want to check everything in the litter so they can pick the best dog for showing. But Maya wouldn't leave our side. She came in and she said, I'll have to take him out to show him. And she picked him up and then put him on the floor near the door and he turned right round and came back in. So this guy could barely see this dog. Anyway, he stood in the doorway and he had a look and the dog was just, the dog had made his mind up. We were the ones having this dog. So he said, I'll take this one. And she came back in and she said, he's yours. So Maya picked us. Maya definitely picked us. That's why we went so far. Hello, Simon. Fix the sink. You're a superstar, Simon. First in for tomorrow. So Deb said, I've had dogs that had issues. One didn't like boys. Men were okay. Little girl Bichon was very, very shy. You're able to get them through their issues and make them into a normal dog. That would have been great, but I think this dog had already been through quite a bit. And, you know, it really was a vicious dog. Don't think he was that young by this stage anyway, but that's what they said was wrong with it, that it just sort of had this mental problem that wasn't there all the time. It just kind of had this thing and it just turned, but it would turn on anyone. It wouldn't just be like, I mean, my dad, you'll never find anybody with my dad more attuned to animals. He really was. When Mike lived in the flat, there was a cat next door and Mike loved cats. This cat was called Oscar and it had been a rescue cat. And it had been badly abused. I think it involved like cigarette burns, which how you could do that to an animal. So this cat was very independent. It did not like being stroked, touched, picked up, nothing. Nothing like that at all. So we went to the flat because Mike had Sky TV to watch the football. So we went to watch the football and Oscar came in. And he wandered in and he looked at my mum and like arched his back and hissed with himself. You know, and then he looked at dad and he just wandered over to him and started rubbing himself against his leg. Then he jumped on his lap and we're like, what? What? I mean, so no animal would turn on my dad. This was the only one I had ever known that did. And I think at that point it was like, not much we can do with this. Maybe now, but back then, no. And it would have been, you couldn't let it go anywhere with children. I mean, it ripped half my dad's skin off. And he was a big trucker. So, you know, he was quite a strong guy. And he also had a crowbar and that did him no good either. So it was very sad. Well, I've got some pictures of this dog. What was it called? Not Monty. Oh, I can't remember. It'll come to me. It was a long, long time ago and it's before I was born. Mandy it was called. And, you know, I used to see pictures of it and think, oh, what a lovely dog. And Mum was like, no, it was spawn of the devil. So she wasn't keen on dogs. The fact I was being allowed a dog at all was nothing short of miraculous. So I had to get one as fast as possible. So that was how we went to Scotland and got Maya. Yes, Alex, Russian roulette. It really did depend on what somebody else picked. But Maya had already picked us, bless. You're never too late, Simon. Never too late. Oh, Simon had a couple of cats from rescue, brother and sister. Male cat always watched feet very nervously. You can tell, can't you? You really can tell. We were so blessed with Maya that he picked us. You know, and he was the one we wanted as well, but we were just very, very lucky. And of course, Lola. I mean, Mike saw Lola when she was a pup. She was about 3 months old. And we've got, Mike took a picture. He said to Geordie, who was Lola's previous mum, can I take a photo of the dog, you know? And he explained that we'd just lost Maya. And we literally had just lost him like a few months before. You know, I just want to show my fiance because, yeah, oh, she's so beautiful. So she said, yeah, of course. So Mike's taking a picture and then sending it to me. We've still got that picture. You know, it's the one picture we've got of Lola as a baby. And then we met up again in the park because we had Ollie. So we were very, very, very blessed. But I do think it's a shame when an animal is scared and you can tell. You know, and there's not much you can do apart from be really, really nice to it and try and get it to build up some trust again. But it always seems to be you can even tell whether it's like men or women, boys or girls, children. You can always tell. It is very, very sad. So it's been an interesting day, hasn't it, Mike?
Yeah.
We've got a new addition in the house. We've got Jerry, which I'll take a picture of. And we're having treats as well, are we? Oh, she's got biscuit treats and everything. So she's now back from a trot. She was very good this afternoon, apart from coughing. Have we got a... Kim's gone. She's gone to a book club.
Yeah.
But do we have a Kim-approved dentist stick? Right, let's have a red one because she's not had a red one for a couple of days. There we go. Yes, if you missed it earlier, we were live at 3 o'clock. We were doing the export persona. We had an absolute ball. If you were watching and you want to rewatch certain bits of it, I've got the table of contents up there. My next job, should I choose to accept it... Oh, I need the music, don't I, for Mission Impossible. But it's got to be Mission Possible. Have you been listening while you've been out?
No.
Naughty Mike. Naughty, naughty Mike. Tracy is doing the Matt Bites Marathon and wants to be caught up by the anniversary, which means I've got about 37 shows to do. But I'm doing it. I'm doing it. It'll be fine. Oh, dear, dear me. Oh, poor Piddle Pooch. Scared stiff of your eldest, who always wore black, smoked our jangly keys. Aw, and still runs away from brooms and mops. It is, you can just tell, can't you? You can just tell. Oh, Deb's eyes weren't open for the Persona episode. It's available on demand, Deb. It's on my channel. Just go to youtube.com/ElaineGiles. It'll be at the top somewhere. I enjoyed it. It was great fun. Great questions. Great question. So I'm going to do some of the stuff that were like the one that, was it Renee that had that question? The one about the multiple slices. I'll do that. I will do that in an after hours.
Mommy's got it.
Mike made a note of it, didn't you, Mike?
Yes.
Oh, do I get a pour or are you just in a reclined position? Reclined position, Mummy. I am. Just feed me. Just feed me. Oh, Tracy swatted flies with a towel once. The cat followed you around to eat them and Piddle Pooch was cowering. Oh, the poor thing. Poor thing. Two slices in one slice. Right, Renee, I will do that. Did you make a note of that like I asked?
It's in the follow-up section.
Excellent. I will possibly stick that in next week in After Hours, which also is available on demand. There's a whole playlist available on demand. So it's been a very busy but a very rewarding day. And we, of course, will be starting another week in lockdown next week. We are 9 days away, 9 days from a whole year of marooned, which is amazing, amazing. So we'll head off now. I have book club. Mike needs an early night. The dog needs treats. And also, I've got to get ready for next week as well, haven't I? Busy, busy time, busy time. But very rewarding. So I hope you all have an amazing week. And I will see you tomorrow if you are going to be with us in Marooned. Other than that, I will see you either Friday or next Sunday, depending. There you go. So for the moment, it's good night from me.
And good night from me.
I don't think I turned you on, you know, Mike.
Good night from me.
Turned his microphone off earlier. So when I say didn't turn him on, not in the... Let's just go, shall we, before I make more of a mess. Right. We'll see you next time. Stay safe, guys.